Hey guys, do you like video games? Do you like heavy metal? Comic books, movies, theme parks, or even cool TV shows? We've got the place for you. Time to rock out with your geek out. Metal Geeks! Welcome, Geekazoids. Here are your hosts, Carrie G and John Michael. Geek it out, fellas!
This is James Averer from Hellstar and Sabbath Judas Sabbath! Rock out with your geek out!
Welcome, everyone, to the Metal Geeks Podcast. We are on episode number 32.
And we both may sound nasally.
That's right.
The weather is kicking our asses.
It's really cold where I'm at. I'm down in Houston, so it's been in the late 30s, early 40s this whole weekend, so I'm not used to that.
Yeah. When I was on my vacation in Maryland, it got down to 20. So in the last 2 weeks, I've gone from 20-degree weather up to 84-degree weather.
F that, man.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, I'm Carrie.
Oh, and I'm John Michael, JM Metal Geek.
We are your elusive host tonight.
Yeah.
It's just us, man.
Yeah, it's like good old times.
Yeah, we have some catching up to do. But we have some news to talk about first.
Lay it on me.
First piece of news is we have a brand new website you can go to. Or a brand new way to find us on the interwebs. You can actually now go to www.metalgeekspodcast.com. It's going to bring you to our website.
Woo-hoo!
If you go to www.msrcast.com, it'll bring you to our website as well.
Nice.
Yeah. See how I did that? That's nice, huh?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think that'll help people find us better on the interwebs, and every time we post an episode, you will be able to find it there. It's still a work in progress. There's still a lot of work that needs to be done, especially getting some of the archive stuff for both of the shows available there, and I don't know, just lots of cool stuff that I have in mind that we just haven't been able to do yet.
Yeah. You're in school, so
that's, you know, right.
Once you graduate and get all that taken care of, I'm pretty sure things are going to start going crazy busy for us here.
Yeah, today is my, I have a final today for my government class that I have to do online as soon as we're done here. So
nice.
Priorities, this had to come first.
Absolutely.
And then we're going to celebrate by going to see Thor the Dark World again.
Oh, shit.
Yep. We have free movie passes that we have to, they expire today, so we have to go do that.
You use it or lose it.
Exactly. And I'd rather use it and not lose it. So, you mentioned you were in Maryland for, how do you say it, Maryland or Maryland?
Well, if you're a local, it's Maryland.
Maryland. Is there a D at the end?
Yep.
Okay. So it's Maryland, not Maryland?
It could be Maryland.
Okay.
Yeah, that's how I say it. But it's Maryland. That's how you're supposed to say it.
Okay.
But, you know, yeah, it was awesome. I went up to see my family for Thanksgiving. It was actually the first Thanksgiving I've had with my family in years. So it was really nice.
That's cool, man. What did y'all do? Did you eat any crab?
I actually did.
All right.
But I didn't have any, I didn't pick any crabs because crab season's out. And people don't know this, but I'm going to out it. When it's winter time in Maryland, you have people that still want blue crabs.
Right.
What those people don't realize, and the reason why it costs so much, is because those blue crabs are coming from Louisiana.
Oh.
So.
Really?
Yeah. Yep. It's only during the wintertime, though.
Hmm.
So.
Well, which ones are better?
Maryland crabs, man. Oh, honestly. Okay. Yeah, I have actually physically caught Maryland crabs myself, and to me, they are so much better. They seem to have a lot more fat on them.
See, I gotta admit, I'm not a big crab fan. I've never, I guess I never had a really good crab, so I was like, oh, it's okay.
Yeah, if you ever get up to Maryland, and maybe one of these days we will be guested at the Baltimore Comic Con, and I will take you to a place to have legit delicious crab.
And I'm not a fan of lobster either. Lobster is just a big sea roach. That's disgusting.
Yeah, I actually have something to say about that. But before I go there, I actually had a crab cake sandwich from Harris's Crab House in Canton Narrows. That's my old stomping ground. I grew up on the eastern shore of Maryland, so I went with the crab cake. It was a lot more. It's a lot more appetizing for somebody, especially if you don't particularly like, dissecting a crab to eat it.
Right.
It seems like
a lot of hard work too.
It is. But if you do it right, it's really not that bad. However, I think that somebody who isn't a fan of crab or lobster, it probably would be a good idea to have a crab cake. Okay. Basically it's a fried, little patty.
Right.
They put on a sandwich. It's really good.
You had me at fried.
It's delicious stuff. And if you get it at the right place, they'll serve it with some sauce and they'll have Old Bay in it. It's fucking amazing.
I love Old Bay. I make a lot of fish with Old Bay seasoning.
That's actually from Maryland. It wasn't until when I moved down here in 2005, that was the year that company was bought out and they finally started distributing it all across the country. So it was kind of crazy.
So I know you did more than just eat crab while you're up there.
Yeah, but let me, before I go on, the whole thing about the roaches of the sea.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny. My brother was telling me that there was a running joke about it. Maybe it wouldn't be very funny to some people listening, but bottom
like
feeding.
Like most of the show.
Yeah. I mean, it's bottom feeding crabs. You know, I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but crabs actually eat people. If you jump off of a bridge or if you drown and they can't locate your body, you better believe you're going to get picked by a crab. And, so a lot of the crabs that came from Louisiana came from after Katrina. So imagine that. So they're probably eating Katrina bodies. And then in turn, people in Maryland were eating the crabs that ate people from Katrina. Kind of morbid.
I don't want to eat crab anymore.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what they are, man. They're literally, they're bottom feeders.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So, a lot of times, like, in the Chesapeake Bay, you have the bridge and people jump off of it like frequently. And, you know, when they retrieve the bodies from the bay, they actually have, marks on them where you can see crabs have been picking at them.
No.
Yeah. So in any case, so moving on from the morbidity, story and the crab picking. Yeah, I actually had a lot of good times. I saw a whole bunch of old friends and, you know, it's pretty cool whenever you don't see people for a while.
Right.
And then you just pick up where you left off. It's awesome.
So you spent a lot of time with your family too.
I did, yeah. I spent a majority of my time with my dad and my fiance, obviously.
Let me ask you this: Has your fiance and your that part of your family ever met before?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, we've been together for quite a long time,
right?
And we've met on good occasions and once on a bad occasion when my brother died. But this time it was totally stress free. There was no urgency. There was no,
isn't that annoying that most family only gets together for like a bad situation when somebody dies or somebody gets married. It's the only time family really ever gets together.
Yeah. And this will be the first time that I'm seeing them all like multiple occasions.
Yeah.
Because I'm getting married in March, you know, so they'll be coming down and I'll probably end up going back up there in January, February for my bachelor party. But yeah.
Fancy.
Yeah, I guess so. I'm not really, you know, I'm a really laid back kind of guy, so I don't know what to expect.
And you drove from Florida.
Oh my God, yeah.
How long is that drive?
Too fucking long. it's 940 miles. So
it's probably it's about the same distance from Houston to Orlando area to Tampa.
Possibly.
It's about 23 hours?
No. We did it in like 14.
Okay, so maybe then further than.
Yeah.
Because I've done the drive from Houston to Florida, and that was a long ass drive.
It is, man. When you start getting to the point where you're like 600 miles away, you're just like, oh my god.
Yeah.
But
hurry up and get there.
Yeah. But I drove like maybe 2 or 3 of the hours up because I had worked an entire day, and Danny drove the other part of it. And then on the way down, I drove easily 11 hours of the drive.
Well, she's a keeper then.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And basically, you know, we had dinner. My dad and my fiance cooked Thanksgiving dinner, and my sister came over. I didn't get to actually have Thanksgiving with my mom and my brother. My brother had an emergency, so he couldn't make it.
No.
But I ended up going over to their place the day after, and then I went over to see my mom at her place, and we had lasagna and stuff. So
that's cool.
It was cool. Yeah, man.
Yeah, we did the family thing at my wife's family's house for Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah?
And I gained a few pounds over this holiday. It's just I'm trying to lose again.
Yeah, and you know what sucks is that, you know, I've been doing pretty good with my weight, and, you know, I'm getting married in March, so I want to be at least somewhat presentable.
Trying to get developed.
Yeah, so I'm probably going to have to start lifting weights here soon to start burning shit. But one of the things I did want to mention before we move on to today's topics, I stopped by a comic book shop in downtown Annapolis, and his name is Billy Voigt. I hope I'm saying your name right. It's V-O-G-T, Voigt, maybe. I can't remember. He didn't enunciate it for me.
Well, that's his fault then.
Yeah. Well, he owns Capital City or Capital Comics in downtown Annapolis.
Yeah.
He was very, very cool. He had this awesome little shop, and I can tell you that if I lived in Maryland, that would be my go-to shop. He had so many different figures in there. He had T-shirts. He had an Agent Venom Thunderbolts T-shirt that I wanted to buy, but I didn't get it.
Why not?
Because, you know, I'm budgets, man. I'm getting married, so I have to be careful with them.
Yeah, true. I got you.
So, basically, one of the coolest things was when I was looking through the paperbacks and the graphic novels, I actually saw Jerry Cassell's comic or graphic novel in there.
Oh, great. Our guest from a few episodes ago.
Yeah, so it was pretty cool. And then I started talking to him about it, and then basically, I started browsing around the store. I bought my current comics because I wanted to read something on the way back.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what happened. I think it was this girl came in there. She was looking for...
Wait. A girl came into a comic book store?
Oh, yeah, man.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. she came in there looking for something for her godson, I believe.
And... I thought that only happened on the Big Bang Theory.
Nope. It was legit. Well, she came in there and then she was like, you know, what do I get for my godson? And I'm like, well, because I had just given my own nephew, who's 7, I gave him a ton of stuff. Like, I gave him Batman 66, number 1.
Yeah.
I gave him the Guardians of the Galaxy, volume 1. And I gave him Earth's Mightiest Heroes comic with Ultimate Comics Spider-Man in there and et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, I was like, you know, you got to look for it for being kid-friendly. So I recommended that, and they were like, I don't know. But then I said, well, if you want something that's really good for kids, check out Nova. So I think she ended up getting Nova for him.
Oh,
but,
cool.
Yeah. So we just started talking, and then I started looking at comics, and then he ended up giving me a comic. And I bought a comic from him as well from local artists, which I'm hoping that once I read them, I've been pretty busy. It's by a publishing company called PLB Comics. They are located on the eastern shore of Maryland, where I grew up. Let's see. It is Gideon and Sebastian, which is the number one comic I have here. It's created by Matthew Shockley and Carlton Anthony Hargrove.
Cool.
I'm hoping that after I read these, we can possibly have these guys come on the show.
Yeah, definitely, man. I like to support, you know, small comic artists and writers and publishers, you know?
Yeah, and what's really neat about this is they actually have – they had this Halloween one-shot, and I grew up on the Eastern Shore, so I'm hoping that when I'm looking through this comic that I'll end up seeing, you know, kind of like when you were reading Scarlet Spider, you noticed a whole bunch of different scenery.
Right,
yeah. Same thing with this, you know. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was cool that Scarlet Spider was, yeah, like you mentioned, it was based in Houston.
Yeah.
And so, I remember asking Christopher Yost when he was here at a convention a couple years ago. The first time he'd ever been to Houston was at the convention.
Yeah.
So he was going around taking pictures of you know, the area and, you know, getting references for the comic, which is cool.
That is cool. And I'm hoping these guys will come on, and I'm going to let Billy know that I dropped his name and his comic shop on this podcast. So if any of you are on Facebook, check out Capital Comics. And he also has a website. It's called CapitalComicsMD.com.
So, okay, I've been to Washington, D.C. before, and I don't really know the area that well. So is that area of Maryland, is that close enough to Washington, D.C.?
You know, that's one of the weird things is that when I was growing up, I felt like everything was far away.
Yeah.
And now that I'm, you know, been away, haven't driven around Maryland very much, it's not. Down here in Florida, I'm about an hour outside of Orlando.
Right.
And
lucky bastard. You know,
yeah. Well, and 3 hours away from Jacksonville.
Right.
And then 5 hours, I believe, from Miami. So it's – and that's flat land, so it's a lot of dull driving.
Yeah.
But we can get to Orlando sometimes depending on the speed, about 45 minutes. So, I mean, it's not that bad. So in comparison, in Maryland, my dad lives about 15, 20 minutes outside of Annapolis.
Mm-hmm.
And then Annapolis is about 35 minutes east of Washington, D.C.
Because a lot of people, they work in Washington, D.C., but they live in Maryland and then that area around it.
Yeah, my really good family friend, she actually works for human resources for the Senate. And
Hey, I just read about that today, studying.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, the Senate.
She worked for the HR department in the Senate, and she commutes every day from Bowie, which is about 15 minutes outside of D.C. I think it's northwest or northeast.
Did you spend a lot of time in D.C.?
No, we drove through it.
I mean, when you were growing up there in the area?
You know, thinking back on it, I probably would go every once in a while.
Yeah.
It's not that bad, but when you're with other people, you know, it's kind of hard. Like, if it was just me and Danny walking around, we could probably spend an entire day and then go home and then come back the next day and do it again.
Yeah, I was there for a family wedding at one point. I had some family that owned a bed and breakfast there, and we did some of the, you know, touristy stuff. We did the Smithsonian for a little bit and, you know, some of the monuments and all that, and it's fun.
It is fun. Cool.
Well, I would definitely go back.
Yeah, when the first time Danny had met my dad, he had just broken his foot, and he had we called it a duck foot, but it was basically like one of those little braces that you put on, you can walk around on it.
Right.
And he was such a trooper, man. He walked the entire mall, which is the outside area from the Capitol, all the way down to the Lincoln Memorial. And
That's where that big pond is, that
the Reflection Pond.
Forrest Gump ran through?
Yep.
how I imagine it.
Yeah. Well, my dad walked all that with us with a broken foot. So, right. I mean, that was pretty cool. And my dad, you know, he's probably seen all that stuff 1,000 times.
Yeah.
And, you know, he still gets pretty emotional when he goes over to the Veterans Wall.
Cool. Well,
yeah.
I'm glad
but
you
anyways,
got the trip, man.
Yeah, I did want to spend more time, but I was limited on time because we're up there for the holiday.
That is why John Michael was not on the episode last week, and we did the Console Wars geekery episode, where I had some of the guys from the Ninjaverse and Altness come on, and because we've all played it.
Yeah.
And we talked about it a little bit, got our opinions out. And speaking of, I just came back yesterday from an episode recording session at the Altness place, and they're about to move to a new studio, new house, if you want to put it that way. They're going to have a full-time studio set up there, which is going to be really cool. And yeah, we did two episodes yesterday. We did one on the brand new video game systems, and I was on that one. And we also did Guilty Pleasure TV.
So, oh, yeah.
And if you remember watching the Guilty Pleasure movie one, Elliot, who liked, what was the name of those movies? Like High School Musical and all that kind of stuff. Just wait until you hear what his favorite TV shows are.
Oh, my gosh. It has to be Glee.
No, actually, it's not Glee. It's worse than Glee.
Oh, let me guess. Was that Smash?
No, he didn't mention that, but there was basically his premise for watching a TV show, the girls have to be hot.
Oh, God.
And, yeah, we sort of called him out on that because there was a girl on the panel, and I'm like, that's pretty sexist, dude. you'll have to watch the episode. It's really fun.
It's not sexist if you have a penis.
Actually, it makes it more sexist.
Oh, damn it.
And, go ahead.
Oh, so did you, I know you had asked me, did you mention what I had suggested or, you asked me what mine were?
Oh, that was, for movies. Yeah.
Yeah. I totally love 80s movies.
Let's talk about it just a little bit and then we'll move on. We'll talk about our brand new sponsor and then we're going to move on to our topics.
Okay, cool.
So give me a couple of your, Guilty Pleasure TV shows.
TV shows. Currently,
I know what you're going to say.
Actually, maybe not, because I love Criminal Minds.
Oh, well, okay. I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah, I watch Criminal Minds.
It has Greg, right?
Yeah. I watch Criminal Minds and Flashpoint literally almost every day.
Flashpoint, is that the Flash series they made a movie out of?
I wish. But no, it's a tactical team that they do hostage situations, and it's all based in Toronto, which is pretty cool.
We watch a lot of sitcoms over here. I'm a huge sitcom nerd, going back, all the way from like the 50s, I was growing up, I used to watch Nick at Night. Like every night I would watch these old TV shows and I loved it. There's a lot of, you'll have to hear a lot of mine on the episode, but
yeah, I mean, I do a lot of times I actually could care less about TV unless it's a show that I really want to watch. But one of the things that happens in my house is, Danny watches tons of TV. The TV is almost always on. She's a huge TV fan. And, she watches a lot of the TV shows like Glee.
Oh.
And I did go out there and I watched it. So
that's a good supportive husband.
Absolutely, man.
What you gotta do.
Well, I mean, one of the cool things I do like about the show and whatever, you can pull my man card or whatever you want
to
do.
I had to pull Elliot's man card yesterday.
Well, the one thing I do like about the show is it does touch on modern topics like homosexuality and and handicapped people, and because there's a girl in there with Down syndrome,
handicapable.
And they recently had a guy died of an overdose, in real life.
Yeah, in real life, right?
Yeah, they had to write him off from the show. But anyways, the one cool thing is that like given the actual theme of the TV show, they do incorporate music, which is a huge part of my life. And like I think it was they did one entire show of Journey. I love Journey. But so they ended up doing a lot of things, and the show's drama reflects in the lyrics and the songs that they sing, which is pretty cool. And that's something that a lot of times.
So this sounds like a guilty pleasure.
It is.
Okay.
Okay.
That's more guilty pleasure than Flashpoint and Criminal Minds, I tell you.
Well, no, I'm just I'm observant, and I don't sit there and like, oh, I can't wait to see the next Glee show.
Right.
But more so, I can understand why people like it, because music is a universal language.
Yep, that's true.
And, you know, it's one of those things where sometimes people lose sight of music, and like, you know, if you are a fan of Kanye West, then you have no idea what it's like to actually go through a troubling time. So, yeah, so you listen to lyrics of bands that actually have meaning, and sometimes modern music just loses sight of the actual meaning of a lyric, and they just throw out random things like stupid analogies and absolutely no artistic value at all. And when you see a group of,
I feel you there.
Yeah, and it's actually reassuring to see that there's a cultural phenomenon happening where people are actually understanding that music should have a meaning to it.
Right on.
And they didn't forget it.
So let's move on to our our brand new sponsor that we have for the show.
Right after I spend 5-6 minutes talking about Glee. You're welcome.
Yeah, exactly. This is our brand new sponsor is Glee. No, it's not. If our brand new sponsor is a website that's near and dear to us, it's thevinyldead.com, a great toy and collectible website. One of the main things they actually feature on this site is Funko Pops.
Woohoo!
Yay! And right now, I mean, I'm looking at their brand new. They have a big sale going on right now. Which is cool. Anything that you add into your cart, you can get $6 flat rate shipping, that's cheap.
That is cheap.
And if you spend over $100 on the shop right now, you'll get free shipping. And that's pretty, looking at their site, that's pretty easy to do.
Absolutely.
They have the Star Wars Black Series 6-inch Boba Fett. I have never seen it in the store. I really want that one for my collection. Because they're $20 in the store normally, you know?
Right.
And that's pretty damn awesome. And if you go to thevinyldead.com, and they are working on getting a special discount code. They're not activated yet, but they will be soon.
And you can find The Vinyl Dead on Twitter at The Vinyl Dead. And you can see a lot of the different things. Like just 13 hours ago, he announced that they do some news like we do in here.
Right.
But he also talks about what toys are going to be having listed on their
if you're a geek, and you love vinyl toys, you love action figures, you love any of that kind of stuff, this is one of the best places to get them from, and they're cheap right now. I mean, everything's on sale pretty much.
I saw last night, I'm trying to get to the site right now on my tablet, by the way, I got a brand new tablet.
Oh.
Uh-huh. And
fancy.
Yeah. It's a Dell Venue 8, which is awesome. So right now I'm browsing thevinyldead.com on my Dell Venue 8.
Vinyl Dead is our sponsor, not Dell.
Oh. So
just to clear it up for people. Yeah. But if Dell wants to sponsor, yeah.
Oh, hell yeah. Okay, so they're having a holiday special on all in-stock items.
Yeah.
There's this one that I saw last night that I hinted that I would like to my fiance.
Which one's that?
Well, they're doing the a Christmas set. It's three pops. It's got Ralphie and the Ranger, Sheriff Ralphie and Bunny Suit Ralphie and the old man carrying the leg lamp for only $23.50. That's awesome. It's a great deal. You could go to Barnes & Noble and drop that on like just two.
Our Hot Topic. Hot Pocket. Or,
yeah.
I'm looking right now. They have the Disney Epic Mickey set, which comes with Epic Mickey and Oswald for $15.50.
That's great.
That's cheap.
And they have six Star Wars Series 4 sets. They have a six-figure set for Series 4 for $46.50.
Yeah, but I gotta say there's one problem with that. That
R2-D2? One comes.
No, Jar Jar Binks. Yeah, well, maybe, I'm not a big fan of the R2.
No,
I don't. I don't really like the design style on that R2-D2.
I think it's cute, man. Wicket is adorable.
Wicket is cute. I want the Admiral Ackbar.
Yeah.
That's definitely for sure.
So they have Funko Pops, Kid Robot, Disney, Star Wars, The Walking Dead, minifigures, and many more.
Yeah, so check out thewalkingdead.com and tell them the Metal Geek sent you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cha-ching!
So let's start getting into our topics.
All right.
They announced the Metal Grammy nomination. Well, the Grammy nomination, which I really don't really care about. I always look to see which metal bands were nominated in the metal category. And there's some good metal bands, actually, this time.
Yeah, I see that.
So, first off, we have Anthrax nominated. And I've heard of that band before.
Yeah, I think I've heard.
It's weird because they were nominated for a cover song. They were nominated for the TNT cover from the Anthems album that came out this year, the cover EP.
We should do some research and find out how many metal Grammys have been awarded to people of bands who have recorded covers. Yeah,
right, yeah. Let's get on that.
Okay.
Black Sabbath, God is Dead from the album 13. And I got to admit, that is a really good song.
I have not listened to much of that CD because I'm pretty much over Ozzy.
I usually am. I do not like him, but that is a damn good song.
I'll check it out. I'll have to know.
Dream Theater got nominated from their new album. That is actually self-titled Dream Theater. The song is called The Enemy Inside. Here's a band that you like, Killswitch Engage, got nominated for a song called In Due Time from the album Disarm the Descent. And I haven't heard that album.
I highly suggest listening to it because it is not like any other Killswitch Engage album.
Really? And that has, Howard Jones is not in the band anymore. It's,
Jesse Leach is back. Yeah. If you listen to the first album, it's that singer.
Right. And not Howard Jones from the '80s.
Right. And he rocked it. I mean, his vocals, he goes from, you know, just straight up screaming his ass off to singing amazing. And if you didn't know this or not, but Adam D actually used to have a death metal band back in Massachusetts.
Really?
Yeah, and he does a lot of death vocals on this CD, so it's pretty cool.
Oh, cool. I'll have to check it out. And the last one that was nominated for a Grammy is the song Room 24 from Bull Beat featuring King Diamond, and it's from the album Outlawed Gentlemen and Shady Ladies. I got to say, man, this is probably the first time ever that King Diamond has been nominated for a Grammy.
And it's interesting because there's two coinciding bands that deal with Anthrax.
Right, because Rob Caggiano is now in Volbeat.
Yeah.
And he's nominated for two Grammys.
That's crazy.
But I don't think he played on this album, on the Volbeat album. He joined the band afterwards, I believe, but
I think he produced it.
Yeah, so he's associated with it, so that's cool.
That's crazy.
Way to go, Caggiano.
Absolutely.
I remember I got an embarrassing story, maybe not really for him, but long time ago, I don't remember who Anthrax was opening up for. It was like one of their opening deals. I think it was Judas Priest. Mm-hmm. It was not long after that Caggiano got in the band, and he took a nasty spill on stage with his guitar and just fell down, got right back up and started playing again. We're like, oh, nobody see that? What the hell? That's pretty funny. While we're talking about some metal news, man, I have not been to many concerts recently. You know, school, work, all that stuff, life. But I'm seeing two concerts next week, man.
Oh, yeah? What are you going to?
Black Friday, there was a special, this is weird because I hate the new album. And I'm talking about Megadeth, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Hate the new Megadeth album. But on Black Friday, Live Nation had a deal where you can get a ticket for the show with Fear Factory for $12 with all the service charges and everything.
What?
I was like, okay. So I called my wife. I was like, hey, do you want to go see? We haven't seen him in a while. We haven't seen Fear Factory in like 10 years, you know?
Right.
So for $12 at a big venue, we're going to go see it. Even though we're going to have to get there late because the opening band is Nonpoint. And I'm like, what the fuck? But
hey, man, they do a hell of a cover of Wu-Tang Clan.
I don't even want to know.
Okay.
That's where I stand on them. And so, yeah, I mean, that'll be fun. I mean, seeing Megadeth again is always a good time. And we looked up their set list last night, and it was chosen by the fan, so it's pretty much a greatest hits package tour.
Right.
So we're not you're not going to be forced to listen to a whole bunch of songs from the new album. And you got Chris Broderick, that's right. So
Chris Broderick?
Chris Broderick has been their lead guitar player for a while now, from Jagdpanzer.
Oh.
Yeah. Nevermore. He was Jagdpanzer, then he went into Nevermore for a while, and then now he's in Megadeth. So he sort of upgraded a few times. Not that I'm saying Jagdpanzer is a bad band, because I love Jagdpanzer.
It's so funny, because like, every time I read their name, I want to say Jagdpanzer.
Jagdpanzer, yeah. Because, I mean, Harry Conklin, which is, I guess he goes by the Tyrant, one of my favorite heavy metal vocalists. Even though his name doesn't sound very heavy metal, it sounds like a boxer name, doesn't it? Like Harry Conklin? Well,
actually, it kind of sounds like some sort of a seafood platter.
Right? Hey, I would eat that seafood platter.
Hey, would you like some Harry Conklin?
That's like right the conch. But yeah. The little conches, yeah. And the night before, unfortunately, my wife had the class, but I am going to the Storyteller's John Oliva show. I am not missing that show.
Is that going to be aired on TV?
No. He's doing a small tour. It's about 7 or 8 shows. What he's doing, he's playing songs from his entire career. So he's doing stuff from the new album, which he's playing songs that actually Chris Oliva wrote. And then he's doing stuff from Sabotage. He's doing stuff from Dr. Butcher. He's doing stuff from his John Oliva's Pain. And I believe the guys on the tour with him are most of the guys that are in John Oliva's Pain.
Oh, okay.
And he's doing a combination of acoustic, electric show. And it's just going to be like one of those, you know, storytellers shows on MTV or whatever. He's going to talk about the songs and give stories and stuff.
Oh, that's awesome.
And it's supposed to be a 2-hour-plus show. It's just him. So I'm really looking forward to that. Because
you can bring in your video camera.
I don't know. I interviewed John Oliva 6 months ago when his new solo album came out. If you go back in the MSRcast archives, you can do that by going to metalgeekspodcast.com or MSRcast.com. Look, see what I did there?
Yeah, I did.
Awesome. I'm looking forward to actually getting out to a couple shows, and, you know, I need to start seeing some more local stuff, and I just don't have the time, truthfully. But
yeah, I saw that on your Facebook page. Apparently, you were the concert king.
For a long time, I went to every damn show. And as Murtaugh says, I'm getting told for this shit. I'm not talking bad about any bands or anything, but to go to a show now, it has to be something that I really, really, really want to see.
Yeah. I can relate to that, man.
When I was doing Mainstream Resistance, I mean, I was getting into every show for free. All the record labels were hooking me up and everything, and I don't even ask for that anymore. So I have other things that are like my career and my education that has to come first sometimes, you know what I mean?
Well, you're getting old. I mean, that's...
Well, besides that.
Oh.
I'm not getting old. I am old. Yeah.
No, I'm just saying you had said that you were getting old. I'm saying, no, it's just priorities, man. You have responsibilities.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So, I don't know. I mean, I am in my last year of my 30, so, which is pretty scary.
Yeah, it's kind of depressing.
Shut up.
I'm just kidding, man. I'm not too far behind you. I'm turning 35 this coming year.
Turning what?
35.
Oh, shut the fuck up.
Hey, man. You're probably healthier than me, so.
No. Not after this past week.
Yeah, I've got a lot of turkey weight.
Exactly.
And by the way, happy Hanukkah, man.
Excuse me. Happy Hanukkah, man. Yeah, it's over now, which is weird. It started the night before Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
So, because Hanukkah starts on the sundown of the previous day, so. First day was on Thanksgiving. Yeah. It's very, very early this year.
Yeah. Normally it's around Christmas.
Yeah. Any time from like the middle of December, you know, December 8th till Christmas time. Yeah.
Crazy.
And guess what I got for Hanukkah?
What did you get?
I got Killer Instinct on my Xbox One.
Oh, nice.
So.
And how are you enjoying your Xbox One?
Oh, look at that segue.
Yeah.
Well, I actually, we talked about this a couple times already. I am digging the hell out of the Xbox One. We have our cable box, our satellite, actually, which is cool about it because it has an HDMI pass-through. So I have my satellite run through the Xbox, and it's very intuitive. Like, okay, I can go from playing a game to watching TV in basically like a second and a half. It's just like pressing a button, you're back to TV, or you could play a game and have your TV snapped on your right-hand side. And, you know, we're doing that the other night. My friend was over. We were watching the Texans game and playing Killer Instinct at the same time.
Wow.
So there's a lot of really cool things with it, but there's some things that need to be fixed a little bit. The voice control works when it works really well when it works. Sometimes we've had a little bit of hiccups. Like the other night we were sitting down to watch TV during dinner. Yeah, I know that's bad, but we do that. And somehow the level we were at, it was picking up our movements. So it gets on fast forward and rewinding our TV show.
Right.
Because it has, you know, the Kinect has the arm movement and all that. But I don't know. I'm really digging the hell out of my Xbox One. Not saying that I don't like the PlayStation 4. I do. But the games that I've been playing right now, I've been playing Rise, which is freaking awesome. I don't know why it got such low review scores. It really, it's not, you know, spectacular gameplay, but it looks so good. It's such a beautiful game.
Now, let me ask you something. How much is the Xbox Live still you have to pay for?
Yes, you still have to pay for it.
Okay.
It's still $60 a year, but you can get discounts on that. I haven't paid for it in a couple of years, so
right.
I had all these free, you know, coupon codes and stuff. So,
now let me ask you: I'm not very savvy with this whole gaming community,
right?
Because, you know, I stopped playing like religiously back in 1999. You know, so it's quite a long time ago. And this is all before online gaming was in existence.
True.
Now, the thing that I'm curious about is, so you can buy Xbox Live codes, and then it's universal for both Xbox One and Xbox 360?
Yes, it is. I have my same account on both systems, so...
Really?
If you have an Xbox One and a 360, you can have your same account and just pay once.
Huh.
Which is nice, and I mean they were stupid to do it any other way.
Yeah. So so you can buy this one code for Xbox 360 and use the same code for Xbox One.
Correct. Well, you have your same account, so your account works on both systems.
That is awesome. See, that's brilliant. That's good. That's good to hear. Actually,
you know, that's the first time I really thought about it like that. And yeah, that is smart.
Yeah, and, it really is.
But I mean, I really do. We were talking about this on Ultimates yesterday. The PlayStation 4 is designed to be more of a video game console.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, their games on it are great. And it's designed to be that. But the Xbox One is designed to be a little bit more. It's designed to be a little bit... It wants to be your media box. So, I mean, you have your games on it right there. You have your TV going through it. You have Netflix. You have whatever other streaming services that you have available right at the, you know, all you got to, you have one system on and you have it all available to you right there.
Right.
I haven't really touched my, you know, Apple TV since I got this. And if they can get streaming from your mobile device to the Xbox One.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the main reason why we use the Apple TV.
Right.
It's over for them. Microsoft has figured out how to beat Apple at their own game, really.
That's pretty damn smart.
But there's like I said, there's some AI, some user interface stuff, some AI stuff that needs to be worked out, and they can do that. I mean, it's always going to be ever-changing. It's always going to get better every update. And they're able to just update the, you know, the software and it really easily just by downloading it, and you're any problems that you might have had before are going to be fixed, and they can keep on fixing it to make it better every time.
That's awesome.
Bigger, faster, and stronger.
Sounds like Hulk Hogan.
Exactly. I got some you know I'm not going to call anybody out for doing any kind of drugs or anything, but.
What are you talking about? It's like they're on steroids.
Oh, well, okay, fine. They're steroids. Yeah. So the updates are steroids for your Xbox. There you go. Couple of new, there's not really been a lot of news coming out from the gaming industry that I really want to talk about, but you played a little bit of the Walking Dead Telltale game, right?
Yes.
Okay. They announced two games this week. They confirmed Game of Thrones Telltale game. That is exciting.
What?
There's
Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones.
It, wow.
Yeah. There's no gameplay. There's no more information than that. There was like a graphic. And we'll link that in the show notes on the website. But yeah, I'm looking forward to that. And they also confirmed a Tales from the Borderlands Telltale game. So if you're a Borderlands video game fan, you're going to have another Borderlands game, which is going to be completely different than you've ever played before.
Right.
Set in that universe, which is a highly detailed universe, really.
That's awesome.
If you haven't played Borderlands yet, have you?
I have not.
We have to get you Borderlands too, man.
I actually, I was in Best Buy yesterday, and I picked up a game, Marvel Lego Super Heroes.
What? You bought a game?
Yes, I did.
Oh, wait, everything's stopping now.
Yeah, I know. That's why it's snowing right now over in Maryland.
It's your fault, man.
Yeah. They had a bunch of games, like the Red Dead Dawn, I believe it was.
Red Dead Redemption.
Yeah, that's it. see how much I pay attention? They had that there at Best Buy for like $15. And I actually wanted to pick it up, but I was like, you know, if I really want to play a game for a long time, it's going to be a game that I really, really, really want to play, which is Marvel and Skyrim. I still want to play Skyrim.
Oh, so you want to get a job? Skyrim job?
Yeah, exactly.
So have you played it yet?
No, I'm going to go to the flea market after we get off the show, and then I'm going to come back home because right now my fiance's out there with her maid of honor making wedding stuff. So
if you need any help in that game, let me know, because I've beat the game and I'm working on trying to 100% that game.
See, that's what I love about Lego games.
Oh, God. I think we mentioned it before. I think I mentioned it on the show before. It brings out my addictive video game nature.
Well, you know, the thing that I loved about video games back in the day before there was online gaming, you had these games that had Easter eggs all over them.
Oh, yeah.
And I know that the current games still have them, but it doesn't have that nostalgia effect like these Lego games do. To me, it's like playing Mario. You know, you collect all the coins you can.
Yes.
And
exactly. You have to collect all the, you know, the Lego bricks or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
You have to 100% this game. That's all there is to it. And this game has the nicest sentinels ever. There's a couple of sections where you run into a sentinel in the open world, and he goes, "Excuse me, pardon me, are you a mutant? I'm looking for a mutant."
Are you serious?
It's funny, dude.
Yeah, it is funny.
And you can actually play as a sentinel. You can unlock them later. The little mini sentinels.
Really?
Yeah. I've been debating whether to trade in my Xbox version, Xbox 360, and get the upgraded version, but I'm sort of torn here because if I do that, I can get the achievements on the Xbox One, which I'm achievement junkie, I'm an achievement whore, or I can go PS4, which is what Jornell from Altness and Ninjaverse is doing. He was doing this yesterday. He had his PS4 on the other room, and he was playing Lego Marvel on his Vita.
Oh,
I was
God.
Like, okay, so I'm torn of what to do. Because, I mean, how cool would it be just be able to play the full version of Lego Marvel, you know, just on your Vita anywhere in the house?
I think you should just stick with the Xbox.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah.
But
and Kim, you're welcome.
Yeah, thank you. But you know what portable handheld game I have been playing?
What's that?
The new Zelda game on the Game Boy, the 3DS. Holy crap, dude. The Legend of Zelda Link Between Worlds is become my new favorite addiction.
Really?
Did you played the Super Nintendo, the Super Nintendo version of a Link of a Link. Wow, that made me sound retarded.
Okay, Super Nintendo. Yes, I did.
Right. It's pretty much a direct sequel to this game. It's the same exact graphic style. It's the same fucking music. It's bringing back all these really cool memories, man.
That's actually one of the reasons why I wanted to get a Nintendo and or a Game Boy in general, because I love those old school games.
Yeah. This is the perfect game for the 3DS. It's the best game I've played on it. It's so much fun, dude.
See, I played Star Fox, I think it was.
Yeah, I have Star Fox on it too.
That was fun.
Yeah, it's the Star Fox on the 3DS is a remake of the, I think, the 64 game.
See, and there it goes back to before online gaming existed.
Right.
I think that for me, I think that online gaming became, I mean, there's so many different benefits to it, especially when you have like a game like Lego Marvel or Batman 2. You can unlock all the characters and then, you know, you get these achievements from online downloadable content. But, I mean, in the old school games, you would just unlock the characters anyways. But I think you get bonus for having it connected to the Xbox Live account or whatever.
Right.
In any case, I still just like the games to where it's total focus on just the goal. You don't have to think too much about it. You just go in and, you know, try to conquer, you know. I don't know. Yeah. It's kind of weird.
Exactly. I like playing single-player games. I don't have time to do all the multiplayer stuff a lot of the time.
Exactly. That's what I was trying to say.
I just don't have the time. But you know what else we don't have time for? What's more that? Video game talk.
Yeah, it's true.
Let's get into it. We had some pretty cool movie stuff and TV shows.
Yeah. I see what's on the agenda here, but I just found out something that I'm going to bring up real quick because it's something well worth mentioning. I didn't get to write it down because I'm reading it on my tablet. Drew Goddard joins Marvel's Daredevil on Netflix.
Yep, I wanted to talk about that.
Okay. This is good. This is a good step forward. They're actually starting to announce people. Drew Goddard actually did Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Lost, Cloverfields, Cabin in the Woods, and World War Z.
Right, he worked on all those things, yeah. I mean, he's going to be the showrunner for the Daredevil TV series for Netflix.
Yeah, it's going to be, let's see here. I'm going to read it straight from Marvel.com. It's a historic team-up between Marvel's television and Netflix, and now we're proud to announce the award-winning writer-director Drew Goddard, and all his credentials are listed. He will join Marvel's Daredevil, will write and direct Daredevil, the first episode, and setting the tone for a look at the show, while also serving as the show runner and executive producer series for 13 episodes.
Yep. I'm excited, man. Because, I mean, we've already talked about this before, but after Daredevil, they're going to be premiering Jessica Jones, then Luke Cage in Iron Fist, and then they're working on The Defenders. It's all going to work into the Defenders TV series, or Netflix series, if you want to call it that.
The only thing that I hate about this is that we have to wait until 2015.
That you have to get Netflix.
Yeah. Well, I mean, by then I'll definitely be able to get it because I'll be married and all the extra income will be there.
Right.
But in any case, who in the hell are we going to get to play Daredevil? I can't think of anybody.
I don't know. That's a good question, man. I don't know, but you know who is up for front runner for the Ant-Man movie?
Yes, and I totally am down for that.
Paul Rudd.
Absolutely, man.
I'm 100% on board with that. I love Paul Rudd. He's a funny, funny dude.
He is, and he's going to bring out the whole humor that I can't remember his damn name. Edgar Wright, that's it.
Right, Edgar Wright. Have you seen The World's End yet?
No.
Oh, so good.
But I'm totally down for Paul Rudd being in there. The only thing I hope that they do is they stay away from making a little tiny mousy noise when he does shrink.
Right.
I think that's probably one of the stupidest things in TV is when they shrink somebody down.
Yep.
it shrank their vocal cords.
And they always had the same sound effect, too.
Yeah, it doesn't need to happen.
I got some breaking news.
All right.
On Instagram, we now officially have 666 followers.
That's awesome. Did you screenshot that?
I am.
Awesome.
Yep. We are officially evil. Yeah. Follow us. Make us not evil anymore. I'm scared. But yeah, that's great news about, you know, Drew Goddard. I know my wife is excited about that.
Ooh. Okay, look. Sorry, I'm going back to reading some stuff about Daredevil, and here's a couple of people that IGN believes should be playing, could land a role. Joel Kinnaman. Apparently he is the new RoboCop.
Oh, okay.
And I think that this guy would probably be the best to serve as Daredevil, only because he is now dead on Game of Thrones. His name is Richard Madden. He was...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He was...
Wait a minute, he's dead? What? Spoilers.
If you haven't seen that by now, then you're procrastinating. But yeah, I think that he probably, if now that I'm thinking about it, he would play an awesome Daredevil.
And
he's
got the
facial features.
He would be the only Daredevil to ever have a video game franchise named after him.
That's true.
Oh, wait a minute. Is that the same Madden?
They also have Shane West. I don't know where he's from. Garrett Hedlund, who was in Tron.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He was in the Tron Legacy movie.
Dan Stevens.
No.
Don't know where he's from. And they actually mentioned two characters from Showtime's television series. Now, let me ask you this. Do you think Michael C. Hall could play Daredevil?
Yes, I do. I mean, depends on what age they go with. I mean, do they want a young, you know, version of Daredevil, or do they want the more gristled, you know, current version of him?
Yeah. I think that for me, Michael C. Hall and Richard Madden are frontrunners. Yeah.
I see what you did there. Yeah. Even though Daredevil didn't. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
But yeah, sorry. Back to the
back to reality now.
Yeah, back to reality. So yeah.
I wanted to talk to you about the Spidey 2 trailer.
Oh boy.
One word.
One word to describe my reaction?
Yes.
Whoa.
Good woe or bad woe?
Indifferent woe.
Yeah, okay, I'm on that page. Indifferent woe. There's a cool thing about it. And then there was the rhino.
You know, and that I want to take a second to mention something, because I am an uber Spider-Man fan, and I can remember when everybody was hating on the Amazing Spider-Man movie. And I didn't go see it in the theater, because during that time period there was a lot of stuff going on. Anyways, we finally watched it. And I thought to myself, what the fuck was everybody complaining about?
I don't hate that movie.
You know, and that's what people were doing. And every single time something's announced, that there's one thing that they don't like. And I'm going to say this too, that because, I mean, I still don't agree with it, but Batman versus Superman, they've casted Ben Affleck. You know, that's one thing that everybody hates about it. And the same thing now with Spidey, Spider-Man 2. They don't like the way the rhino looks. I don't necessarily dislike it. I don't necessarily like it. I'm going to have to see it for myself. But what I did like were the little Easter eggs that the trailer did reveal.
Right. There were some cool Easter eggs in it. When they were walking through, was it Oscorp where they were walking through where they showed these?
Yes. Yes.
They had Doc Ock's, you know, mechanical arms.
Yep.
And the Vulture's apparently mechanical wings.
Yep. So they're obviously hinting at the Sinister Six.
Yes.
And
they're obviously Norman Osborn is behind it all.
Yes. And you'll see six doors opening and the trailer, which would then obviously reveal that there's the Sinister Six. The only question is who is the sixth member?
Okay, because, so they've announced... Okay, so we got Green Goblin, because we already know he's going to be in it.
Yep. Rhino.
Rhino, and then Electro. And then you have Doc Ock and Vulture.
Right, so who's sixth?
Who's the other one? Is it Kraven, usually?
It's either Kraven or Shocker.
Shocker, there you go. But they couldn't do Shocker. Shocker's too close to Electro.
Yeah.
So maybe Kraven will make an appearance. That'd be cool.
There's also
you can play with Kraven in Lego Marvel.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, he's one of the secret characters.
See, I'm gonna Google this real quick, because I know that the Ultimate Universe and the Earth 616 universe, they both have different Sinister Sixes.
That's true.
So let's see. Isn't Mysterio a part of the Sinister Six?
Yeah, Mysterio, yeah.
So how would he fall into this? But see, the original Sinister Six actually was, it was Doc Ock, the Vulture, Electro, Kraven, and Sandman.
Sandman, okay. That's only five.
Wait, one, two, three, four, five. And then, Green Goblin.
Green Goblin, okay.
Yeah, and Mysterio.
I was like, somebody in Marvel couldn't count.
Yeah, no, that was me.
Okay.
Then they had the Return of the Sinister Six.
Right.
So, I mean, they do all these different variations of the Sinister Six, so...
I had that video game.
It's trying to figure out, like... Oh, and then there was also the Sinister Seven, Sinister 12. So I think probably looking at, like, the Sinister 12 probably gives a better idea of who they possibly could throw in. But I'm actually going to be leaning more towards, I believe they're going to be making it Venom.
Oh.
Because I think that they're going to be hinting. I'm pretty positive that they're going to have Venom in the movie.
I did see there was a screen cap that somebody took of the trailer, and one of the floors at Oscorp was a Venom containment unit.
Really?
Yeah.
So that would probably be who it is. I'd actually love to see Mysterio, though. As much as I love Venom, I'd still like to see Mysterio.
They have to do these characters right. I'm not a big fan of the way they're going with the Rhino number one already.
Yeah.
But I see where they're going, where it's more mechanical style and it's not mystical like, I guess, the regular Marvel universe is.
Yeah. I mean, see, Sony, I don't know how Marvel Studios would have approached it. I know they have Mark Millar. He's working with everyone involved,
right,
to make sure the continuity's there. But I don't know how he's influencing the way things look. Now, I know that everybody complained about the way Spidey's mask looked and his outfit, and they kind of went back and they were like, okay, we're going to change this.
Yeah.
So maybe this is just the first step in Rhino's appearance.
Yeah.
Because I know that Sony listens to their fans when it comes to not being happy about something. Because that goes back to the whole storyline with his father. There was a whole bunch of different stuff that they cut from the movie because of the fan reaction. And the same thing they did with the Spider-Man suit. I can only guess that they're going to be listening to the fans when it comes down to Rhino's outfit.
They should be listening to our show and then go from there.
Yeah, Sony. And then and while you're at it, make sure you get a contract to join with Marvel Studios to make sure that Spider-Man can show up in the Avengers. Just saying, you know.
Just while you're working on this stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
And speaking of Marvel movies, X-Men Days of Future Past is coming out in May of next year, 2014.
Oh, can't wait.
And they've already announced that there's already a sequel in the works for 2016, X-Men yep. Apocalypse.
Oh, man.
So, wow. I'm going to call it right here. The after credit scene in Days of Future Past is going to be Apocalypse showing up to wreck some shit.
It has to be.
Or even earlier in the movie. I don't know.
Yeah. The other question I have about it is, where does Hugh Jackman sit? Because I know that he's talking about...
Right.
He's kind of growing to the tired. Point where...
Yeah. He doesn't want to do Wolverine anymore.
Yeah.
But maybe he doesn't want to do a solo movie. Yeah. Maybe he'll still be on board. Because you can't do... You can't have Wolverine in the movies without Hugh Jackman. He's that character now.
Yeah, I don't know. I still think that they're going to have to go with somebody else. I mean, he's getting old. You know, he's getting older, and his body is getting harder for him to to keep that figure.
Yeah, well, it's hard to get in that kind of shape.
Yeah, I mean, he still have to be in kind of good shape if he even wanted to make a cameo.
Right. Unless they have them all covered up or something.
Yeah. I do know that if you watch the extra deleted scene from the Wolverine movie, I don't know if you've seen this or not. But
I have not.
They actually – oh, man. You go and watch this on YouTube as soon as you can. Have you seen the Wolverine movie?
I have seen the movie.
You know when they're sitting on the plane and she's asking where they're going?
Right, at the very end?
Yeah, and before they changed the scene – she handed him an elf, like a suitcase, and inside the suitcase, he opens it up and it reveals the actual Wolverine suit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. It looks really fucking tight.
Nice.
So,
the brown one or
the
yellow one. Oh
yeah.
Brown and yellow. Sweet.
So it's,
not black leather.
No. I think it's yellow and black. Or maybe yellow and dark blue.
Okay, I'm gonna have to take a look at this.
But it looks pretty cool. You see the gloves, and he has little points on there where you can see the his blades come out.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So I mean, that could be hinting at possibly, you know, for in the future, Wolverine will be covered up, so
you right. know,
somebody else can play him.
That, or they can do digital muscles on Hugh Jackman. You don't have to do so much work. I'm sure they could do that eventually.
Yeah.
So, last bit of movie news that I wanted to get into is Disney finally is able to pick up the rights for the Indiana Jones movies.
Right.
Which, what this means is there's going to be Indiana Jones 5.
Interesting.
So, as the agreement says, Paramount gets to distribute the first four films still. Raiders of the Lost Ark, Temple of Doom, Last Crusade, and that other one that we won't mention by name. That's one of my guilty pleasures, actually.
Really? I couldn't watch it the first time.
That's why it's a guilty pleasure.
Yeah.
Anyways. So does this mean that Indiana Jones 5 is going to happen? From rumors that I've heard, Harrison Ford will only join Star Wars if he gets to do another Indiana Jones movie. And now since Disney owns both those IPs and both the properties, something's got to happen.
Yeah.
Because he needs to do one more Indiana Jones before he's getting way too old.
The one thing to keep in mind is that Disney and major corporations like that, they don't buy things without thinking it through.
Right.
So I'm going to say, yes, they're going to have another one.
And hopefully it's not going to have, what's that douche's name from the last movie?
Oh.
His kid? LaBeouf? LaDouche. Hopefully he doesn't pick up the mantle or the hat, if you will, and become the new Indiana Jones.
They'll probably make him because I think he was a Disney kid.
Was he?
I think so. No, he was a Nickelodeon kid.
Maybe. I don't know. But I don't know. If they announced him involved, I am not on board anymore.
Yeah.
I don't know. So I'm glad that Disney is finally working, not only because they picked up, you know, everything from Lucas. So they finally made some news about what's going on with the other franchises a little bit.
Right.
It is not all Star Wars, Star Wars, Star Wars, which they have signed the first star for Episode 7.
Who is that?
R2-D2.
Oh, God.
Yeah, exactly. Nobody else has signed on yet, or they've admitted to yet, but R2-D2 is on board because J.J. Abrams tweeted out a picture of him on set.
Wow.
Yeah. Just the robot. Nobody... Who knows if it's Kenny Baker involved still, or nobody knows. But what else are these guys doing? What else is Anthony Daniels and Peter Mayhew doing besides, like, personal appearances, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
So I wanted to do something special for this episode because today is a very somber day in heavy metal history. And, God, it's been almost 10 years already. On December 8th, 2004, Dimebag Darrell was killed on stage by a crazed fan.
Ugh, I will never forget that morning I read that news.
Me too, man. It was nine years ago now.
I was living in Centerville, Maryland. I just sat down to read the morning news at my computer, and I read it. I was like, this isn't real. This didn't just happen. Why in the fuck would that happen? You know, that's exactly what was going through my mind.
And I got to tell you, man, Dimebag is such a cool dude. I've met him a few times and, you know, never really got to hang out with him. Like, you know, always my best friend or anything. But yeah. He was always really nice to me and to his fans and to anybody that really knew him as a person.
You know what sucks about all this? Not only the fact that he's dead, but they played in Baltimore 2 days before and I could have hung out with him.
Right. Yeah, I mean.
With my buddy Metal Nick.
Damage Plan wasn't horrible.
Yeah.
I mean, they weren't my favorite, but...
Well, they're playing with Shadows Fall on that tour, I believe. Mm. And I remember because my brother wanted to go, and I was like, I can't go because I got to work. And if I had have gone, I'm positive I would have hung out with him because I believe Metal Nick actually got to hang out with him. And they smoked some pot together.
Nice. And also on this day is the anniversary of the death of John Lennon, another musical legend.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it?
33 years ago, he was killed in outside of his apartment in New York City by a crazed fan.
You know, it's probably one of the reasons why I'm so fascinated with death. And sorry, that's a little weird, but
Chuck Schuldiner?
Well, kind of more like Thanos, if anything.
Okay. I see what you do there.
Yeah. I am. I do believe when I was. My mom had told me, because my mom was a huge Beatles fan, which,
right.
You know, she was a huge Beatles fan, and I became a Monkees fan when I was a kid, and that's the whole Mickey thing. And then she wanted to name all of her kids after the Beatles, and obviously that stopped when she had a daughter first. So, in any case, I will never forget the story that she told me. She was getting me ready for preschool. No, not preschool. My mom was actually doing some stuff for fabric. She was doing schooling or whatever, teaching kids. And she was getting me ready, and then they announced it on the news. And that's she said my reaction to it was kind of weird, but my mom was getting me ready as they were announcing on the news. So
you must have been really young when that happened.
Yeah, I was a year and 4 months.
I was probably
year and 7 months.
Seven or eight by that time.
Yeah.
I don't know. My parents didn't tell me. I don't remember when it happened. You know, I remember hearing about it a little bit, but it wasn't a huge thing for me.
Yeah. It wasn't big for me either, but it hit my mom pretty hard. My mom loved John Lennon.
And we have some birthdays today to celebrate from the music world, apparently,
yeah,
that you put out there.
Yeah, when I was researching the whole this day in history, I was like, you know, that's some pretty depressing news. So, you know, let's kind of add some other bizarre coincidences on December 8th. And this day in history, Jim Morrison of The Doors was actually born. Obviously, you guys know who the fuck he is. But he was the one thing that you may not have known, he was born in Melbourne, Florida, which
really?
Where I lived for a bit. He was born there because his father was in the military, and they were constantly moving around.
Okay.
There's a huge Air Force base right there, right on A1A.
That's another band that I'm a huge fan of.
it was crazy. And there's a house there, and I believe that it is where he lived. And in World War II, near it as well, there was a plane that crashed there in the same area. But, anyways, Marty Friedman.
Yay.
From Megadeth, former Megadeth. He was born on this day.
Would it be former Megadethian?
Yeah. And the wild, wacky, who was Lady Gaga before Lady Gaga was thought of.
Right.
Sinead O'Connor's birthday's today.
Yeah, she, she's a little wacky. That's a good word for her.
You know, come to find out, she's got severe bipolar disorder. Mm-hmm.
And I read something recently. She had a lot of, a lot of drug problems, and she's completely sober now. Yeah. And she wrote this nasty letter to, I think it was,
Miley Cyrus.
Miley Cyrus. Yeah.
Well, she was talking kind of like, I don't know if you've heard this or not, but like Vanilla Ice, he actually was trying to break through and get to Justin Bieber to tell him, you know, you got to get your shit together because, you know, eventually they're going to chew you up and spit you out like you're nothing.
Yeah, you need to get your shit together so you can eventually have a TV show where you fix houses in Amish country.
Exactly. So she did the same thing, and come to find out, like, one of the things that she did on, I think it was SNL, back in the 90s or 80s, she ripped a picture of her on TV. And that actually stems back to something in her childhood. She was molested by her preachers. So, you know, there's some legit hate there and trauma. And fucking Miley Cyrus wrote her back and was telling her how useless she was. And, you know, it's kind of shitty of her.
Yeah, so, totally, man.
So if anything, I just want to let you guys know, no matter how sexy you think Miley Cyrus is, she has a beard. Google it.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
Google it. You'll find it. There's a picture of her at the American Music Awards. The side shot. She's got fucking facial hair. It's nasty.
Miley Cyrus beard. Okay.
You see it?
Yeah.
It's gross, isn't it? She's got it all down the side of her cheek. And she has sideburns. So, if anybody has anything nasty to say,
she has some weird white beard or something.
Yeah.
Like makeup or something.
Well, there's other pictures, and maybe I'll find it and I'll just send it to you. You can put it on the website. And
I see a lot of Photoshop pictures.
Yeah.
There's one with Zach Galifianakis' beard on her. That's funny.
Yeah. So anyways, everything is not as it seems in the world of Hollywood.
You know? Never is.
Yep.
So let's move on. We have a recurring section that we like to get into. It's JM's Geeky Facts. We still need to come up with some theme music for that.
Larry, from November's Doom, he was a guest here on the show, and he has now become a friend of the show, and he said he's going to be doing one, so hopefully when November's Doom is wrapped up the recording, maybe, you know, he can come on, and he can present the theme song.
That's right. We have some exciting news. When you mentioned Larry, let's get into that real quick. We are working on... We're all monkeys geeks here. You and I, I'm more probably me, but yeah. Larry Roberts from November's Doom is definitely a monkeys geek, and we geeked out about that. And we are in the works of planning an episode devoted to the band, their music and the TV show, and just, you know, some history stuff, some memories, that kind of stuff. I think it'll be fun. Cool.
Yeah, absolutely. So
it'll be very geeky.
Yeah, and one of these times he can come on here and he can introduce the JM Geeky Facts theme song.
That's right.
The Geeky Facts.
I think you just wrote it for him.
Yeah, there you go.
So what's your first fact?
My first fact is...
Is that a fact?
Yeah, that is a fact. I know that in the show notes here doesn't really show exactly what it was, but it's actually Guardians of the Galaxy...
Yes.
It's the first non-Avengers Marvel property developed by Walt Disney Pictures.
That's true. I'm looking forward to that movie. It comes out summer of next year.
Yep. And going with that, the cinematographer of that movie was actually just hired on to do the cinematography for the Avengers 2, The Age of Ultron.
Oh. So keep it in the family.
Yeah, it's a pretty good segue into a fact. That was awesome. Because I wanted to mention it in the show earlier, but it kind of just worked together.
We are the kings of segues.
Yeah.
and not the vehicles that you ride around on.
Oh, man, they're fun. If you've ever done that.
No, I have not.
If you've never done that, I'm sorry. Do it. It's fun. Scary, but fun.
And you have some Pantera facts here.
Yeah, man. Mouth for War actually debuted number one, beating Metallica's Enter Sandman.
Thank God.
Yeah. I wanted to bring that out because, you know, we mentioned Dimebag Darrell. So he was a very, very talented individual, and it really is such a shame that it didn't work out for Pantera. And yeah. I can only wish that if Phil Anselmo was on stage when that guy jumped up there, he would have knocked him out.
Oh, yeah. If you go back into the our Metal Geeks podcast Instagram account, a few months ago I posted pictures from some autographs that I have from Dimebag. And on my Power Metal CD, he actually signed it as Diamond Darrell. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I have something very, very rare with his autograph on it that it was before he was even going as Dimebag.
And you said you posted that picture?
Yeah, it's on our Instagram account.
Okay. Maybe you have to repost it because it might have gotten lost. And
yeah, we'll have to do that.
Or post it in the show notes. One last fact. We were talking about Apocalypse, but this is completely different. You know how Marvel and DC likes to kind of one-up each other. Darkseid is basically the Marvel equivalent, vice versa, of Apocalypse.
Yeah, true.
You know, so every Christmas, Santa Claus travels to Apocalypse every year to give Darkseid his pile of coal. He does that while evading all of Darkseid's defenses, including his Omega effect.
Now, is this true in the comics? Does it really happen?
Yes, every year.
Where does this happen? Because I want to see this.
There you go. It's actually, if you go on to dc.wikia.com/wiki/Santa_Claus, you'll see the fact of Darkseid getting a lump of coal every year.
That's awesome.
From Santa Claus.
That's the way it should be.
Yeah.
And on that note, instead of giving you a lump of coal, I think we're going to have to end the show.
Yeah, man.
But before we do, speaking of giving stuff away and not being a lump of coal, we do have a holiday present I would like to give out.
All right.
You know, if you know me, I'm a fan of the Disney Vinylmations. We've had, you know, Thomas Scott on the show before. There's a series of Vinylmations called Popcorn. And they're bigger. Normal Vinylmations are probably like 3 inches. These are probably 5 to 6 inches. And I have an extra Goofy Popcorn Vinylmation to give away to one of our lucky listeners. Right. And we'll post something on Instagram. We'll figure something out. But you don't really have to win any kind of contest or anything. But one of our lucky listeners or followers is going to win this.
Sounds wonderful.
It's not going to be you. It's not going to be me.
Yeah, you've already got some.
I already got one. That's right.
I don't. No, I'm just kidding.
But yeah, so just follow us on Instagram. Send us an email at metalgeekspodcast@gmail.com that you want to win one of these really cool Goofy Popcorn Vinylmations. And we'll post a picture on our website, too, that you can take a look at it. And one of you guys is going to win it. That's all there is to it.
Yeah,
we're just in the giving mood.
You could also tag on if you don't want to email us, you don't have email or whatever. Some people get really weird about it. You can repost Metal Geeks Podcast image for this episode and hashtag it. I want Vinylmation.
There you go. I want Vinylmation. I want Goofy.
Yeah, I want Goofy. There you go. Hashtag and I want Goofy.
Find us on Twitter at Metal Geeks. At Metal Geeks. You can find us all on Facebook. Let's see, where are you on Facebook?
My Facebook's kind of, I have it private, but if you want to add me on there, just like all the other guests that we've had on, I normally use it for just my family and close friends, etc. But if you want to add me,
that's why I'm not even on there.
Yeah, that's a lie. So you can find me on there under my name, John Michael Herlth. It's H-E-R-L-T-H. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter with the same name, at JM Metal Geek. Both my Twitter and my Instagram are more geared towards the show as well as my geeky habits. I tend to watch a lot of MMA. I repost a lot of different shit. So, but my Facebook is more primarily for just keeping in touch with my family. But I actually one thing that I wanted to mention, because we're also involved with rhymeswithgeek.com. I will be writing comic reviews for them. So I will be doing that soon. Maybe I'll bust out one tonight.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, I was also going to say, now that you mentioned rhymeswithgeek.com, you can find the Metal Geeks podcast on rhymeswithgeek.com. You can also find us on altness.com, and you can find us on metalgeekspodcast.com. All three places will bring you to us. And while you're looking for us, go to iTunes, subscribe to the show, like us, give us a review, because it's really the only way. That's what we want from you guys. We're giving you free stuff. We just want you guys to go out and share that you listen to the show and find us on iTunes, subscribe to us, and let five people know about the show.
Yeah, you know, if you write in, we will read your email and we will read it on the air. I know that recently, Carrie, you received an email from a listener, and I think you mentioned it on the show, the last show that I was on with you, or maybe I can't remember. But anyways,
right, I had to actually somebody message me on Facebook. Her name is Rebecca Jones.
Okay.
And she gave some really kind words. We were in the, I trade a lot, Divine Animation stuff, which is like my favorite part about it, is actually the trading aspect of it. But she, gave us these kind words. She said, also, I listened to your podcast with Thomas Scott, loved it. And I love your podcast in general. My husband and I started reading the Velvet comic book series and had the new Disney one pre-ordered. Thanks for turning my husband and I onto new things.
See, and thank you very much.
Yeah.
That's the kind of stuff we want to hear, because, you know, we spend a lot of time doing our geeky shit ourselves, and it's honestly, sometimes these companies, they don't focus on the good things. Like in this, our podcast, we spend a lot of time, you know, collectively coming up with topics. You know, right now we're an hour and 30 minutes into the show on our Sunday. So it's not an inconvenience at all, but we totally want to hear feedback like that, because
right.
It helps us know that we're helping changing, you know, something in your life, and offering new paths in your life. Because like Velvet, that we were talking about it, and I was like, you know, we got to read Velvet together so you can, you know, we can talk about it.
And we're gonna do more of those, you know, comic book reviews like that on the show. It's just, you know, find the time to situate it and get it going. It's gonna happen. I'm looking forward to it.
So if I can actually suggest, if anybody out there is listening and they haven't read it, read Long Shot Saves the Marvel Universe.
Okay.
Have you read it?
I have been reading it. I've read it up to episode, or call them episodes now. I've read up to issue two.
Issue three is stellar. It's perfect.
Okay. I've always been a big, huge Long Shot fan, and my best buddy Scott, who is now gone, he was a huge Long Shot fan too.
It's very good. Very good comic to read, and another comic to read if you haven't done it already. Manifest Destiny. It's from Image Comics. It's following the life and trip of Lewis and Clark's expedition given to them by President Jefferson. And essentially what they do is they are going out to protect the colonies from the monsters that live on the undiscovered lands.
Okay, that's definitely not usual comic book fodder. That's
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, it is cool. It's very cool. They got great art, and I highly recommend checking it out.
And I've been reading something thanks to your recommendation. I started picking up Avengers AI, and I don't know why I haven't picked it up before, because I am a huge Vision nerd, And this whole series is right up my alley.
Yeah. What issue were you on?
No, I believe I just finished issue 3.
Okay. It's really going to start picking up because I know that that one girl in there, Alexis,
yes,
she's kind of confusing because you don't know where she came from.
Right.
That starts unraveling in the next couple of issues.
So the basic storyline is the team is Hank Pym, which is Ant-Man, Vision, and one of the Doombots, and then one of the characters who was in Runaways that I was a big fan of. If you've never read the Runaways comic, you're missing out, man. These are all AI, characters that were basically created by Hank Pym. And I guess one of the AI, what's his name, Demetrius?
Yes.
He is trying to take over everything and let the AI, it's really cool. It's a cool series. It's definitely different than anything that's ever been done. And it's a really cool group of Avengers, if you want to call them Avengers. But
yeah, they're the characters that I enjoy the most are Doombot and Victor.
Victor, that was the character from Runaways.
Yep, he's the son of Ultron.
Right.
Which is interesting because at this point Ultron never existed, which is kind of weird.
Right, because Hank Pym created that virus that wiped him out.
Yep.
He wasn't able to replicate fast enough to destroy.
Right, so at this point, Victor, I don't know. In any case, the other cool thing is that I don't know if they touch base on it in issue 3 or not. It might be in issue 4 or 5. They touch base on Hank Pym's emotional state because of Ultron. It's pretty real and pretty deep.
I haven't got to that yet.
It touched me deeply because the whole issue of mental illness is very near and dear to my heart. And they actually touch base on it. So it's kind of cool. They make him real.
Cool.
A real life reaction.
Check out Avengers AI. It might be something you might not usually pick up and check out, but take our word for it. It's a lot of fun. And before we go away, I wanted to say about Rebecca, I wanted to give a shout out to her husband too, Mike Jones. She said he would be really jealous if we didn't mention him too. So they awesome. they say we are pretty geeky and we appreciate the geekery of others. That's what we're here for.
Absolutely.
To share our geekery.
Thank you guys so much for writing in. We hope that you have inspired other listeners to write too. You can send it on Facebook. You can send it on Instagram, whatever. You can DM us on Twitter and email us.
MetalGeeksPodcast@gmail.com. That's right. And thanks to our new sponsors over at TheVinylDead.com. Thanks to RhymesWithGeek.com and Oldness.com and Us.com.
Yeah.
Thanks to us.
Yeah, thanks to us.
And I have one last thing I would like to say that we say every episode.
That Matt Damon will not be able to join us.
We ran out of time for Matt Damon tonight. Matt Damon!
Yeah, Matt Damon.
But I just gotta say, keep it geeky.
Hey, Geekazoids! Thanks for listening to another fine podcast brought to you by MSR Productions. All rights reserved, blah, 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 blah. For reviews, archives of our podcasts, and all your other metal geekery needs, please visit MSRcast.com. Keep it geeky. Keep it metal.